Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
And we have got a big-time show going on today. Good gracious. Had to switch the titles over. That's what took a little longer than usual. But either way, we are here now. We are ready to rock and roll. Let's go ahead and get into this thing. It is Friday, March the 5th, and we've got a lot to talk about with LSU, with the NFL salary cap massacre that's supposed to be coming next week per Diana. I've forgotten her last name. What's her name? The ESPN.
I don't know, you've lost me, bro.
Anyway, so it's been reported by NFL reporters that we're going to have a salary cap massacre of some pretty big names being cut next week. Lots to talk about there. Tom Brady rookie card sells for a monster amount. The Big Ten has been hiding information. It's a fairly big day, and we don't want to take too much of your time, but we got a lot to talk about, man. Go to winningcureseverything.com. Anywhere that you need to be subscribed, you can find over there. Anything that you need to know about us, you can find over there. Everywhere that that we go live, everywhere you can get the podcast, etc. Casey jumps in. Let's get it. Who's going to win the three-point contest? Man, I'm not even going to watch that thing. I don't even know.
Nope.
Is that this weekend?
I listen.
I have no idea. I really don't know.
I've watched a good bit of Mavs. I've watched a good bit of my Celtics. I've watched a good bit of the Grizz. Outside of that, I don't think I've watched a second of a basketball game that wasn't a highlight reel of any other team.
I'm knee-deep in college basketball, so yeah. I have no idea. McKinnon jumps in. He said, happy Friday. Casey said, Donovan Mitchell plus 350. cheers to that. He's a hell of a shooter. In on that. Taylor jumps in. Happy weekend, boys. Casey said the All-Star Game's on Sunday. Had no idea. Learn something new every day. By the way, our college football gambling content can be found over at sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. Very easy to find. And just hop on over to YouTube and make sure that you check out SBR Picks over there. Just search for it. Easy to find. No big deal. I would recommend going and checking it out. Next week's show is going to be a big one. We're going to go majorly in-depth. We are going to go ahead and start off today's show by discussing the LSU situation. And we'll go ahead and apologize in advance. This is all still relatively fresh. Neither Chris nor myself...
All the information's not out yet.
It is, but...
I couldn't find it all, and I didn't understand it all either.
Well, that's the thing, right? The document is out, and you can go read it, but it is hundreds of pages, and there is a lot to it. And even guys like Ross Dellinger at Sports Illustrated and Glenn Gilbo down at the Advocate down in Louisiana, like, they are still going through it, picking parts of it out, you know, all that kind of mess, right? So we don't know everything yet. We're gonna try and dive more into it, you know, over the weekend. But it's, I mean, it's going to be a bit. So we got to figure some stuff out. It's Hush Blackwell that did the report on this. And, you know, it took a while to get all of the information because this stuff is old. Like, it's really, really, I don't know that any of this happened under Ed Orgeron. And that's the biggest thing, right? Like,
I think some of it got reported at the very beginning of his tenure.
Before he was even necessarily hired.
Yeah, I think he might have been the interim. I got a little lost in the timeline, but I'm not a very good reader, and this stuff reads like legal documents, and that's that's even harder. I've heard that's hard for even normal people to read well. So, you know, I'm struggling through it because I want to know the information.
Here are the biggest things. There are the Title IX, sexual assault, whatever kind of issues going on, or not going on, but that went on at LSU involving Les Miles, involving Darius Geis, involving Drake Davis. All three of those no longer with the program. It has been years since they have been there. The other big news that came out today was Joe Oliva wanted to fire Les Miles with cause in 2013. The lawyers looked at it, said that there was not enough there for it to be with cause. The buyout at that time would have been $15 million. So, you know, I mean, there's just a lot going on here. Joe Oliva, the cracks in the foundation at LSU, all of this stuff just makes what Ed Orgeron pulled off, you know, in the 2018 season, 2019 season, even more incredible, right? Because there have been cracks in the foundation at LSU that started really on New Year's Day of 2012, you know, down in the Superdome with Alabama and LSU. From that point on, it has been just a almost complete disaster down there. Now, there have been good seasons and whatnot, but it has been a ton of controversy for the last 8-9 years down there. And all of this stuff has been talked about here and there, but it has all really come out. The Darius Geis stuff came out preseason last year, and we knew that there was more stuff that was going to be coming. We just didn't know what or who it involved, et cetera. We learned about the Les Miles stuff early yesterday. We knew some of the Drake Davis stuff. It had been reported locally. Drake Davis was not somebody that was widely known.
He's not Darius Geis star, and he's not Les Miles, probably the most powerful person in Baton Rouge at his time.
Very much so. Very much so. The thing that has come out of this, LSU has suspended Associate Athletic Director Miriam Seeger 21 days. She must have domestic and sexual violence training per the Hush Blackwell report. And they have suspended Deputy Athletic Director Verge Osbury for 30 days without pay, and he must have domestic and sexual violence training. Now,
and these two people are suspended because they're the only two people that are still on staff at LSU that were there during all this, right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay, that's why.
Now, I don't know that they're the only two, but they are the two that had the...
maybe had any kind of job of power or influence.
Yes.
Everybody else was such a lackey, and they might have worked their way up, but yeah, I got you.
Scott Schneider said that AD Scott Woodward has made modest improvements within the athletic department. He said at least people now know who the Title IX coordinator is, implying that they had no idea who it was.
That's important.
Back then. He said the errors that we see in athletic cases, we see them popping up in non-athletic cases as well. The answer to are athletes being treated differently in this process? The answer is no. So it's across the LSU campus. We're talking about it on a football level. This is more in step with what went on at Baylor, although on a much smaller scale than just saying it's a football problem. It's not a football problem.
This is a school problem. It's a president problem, basically, down.
Yes. Scott Schneider, who works for Hush Blackwell, I don't know if I said that before, but... LSU's Title IX reporting process, he said one survivor described it as it was designed to put victims in position to just give up because they were worn down by the process. That is never what you want to see.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I mean, it's pretty crazy stuff. LSU did come out and release things that they are going to implement in conjunction with the recommendations. It's clarify reporting responsibilities, streamline and centralize reporting and support resources, increase staffing and support. Like they are now fully staffed in the Title IX department, the Title IX office. It wasn't like that when all of this was going on. There's going to be more education and training. There's going to be policy clarification. They're enhancing oversight and evaluation. They're increasing awareness of resources and processes and all that. Like, at the majority of big-time universities, Title IX training is pretty cut and dry. Like, you have to go through a process. I have had to do it a ton. It happens every year. You don't get to skate by. It's, you know, you have to sign your name to it. Otherwise, the school can be fined. I don't know how LSU ever got to this point. I got no idea. Yeah. Now, this was 2013. They had started to get better as the years went along, and that is the case with a lot of places. But even by 2013, Title IX was still a major, major thing even at this point. At that time, you had a USC kicker that had been kicked off of the team, I believe it was in 2016, because of a false allegation that went through the Title IX office. So it was a little bit like Title IX, in some cases, had overstepped their bounds. But in some cases, there was just none. And that was kind of the situation at Baylor. There was just, we're talking about football coaches. They don't know who to report to. They didn't know what they were supposed to do with the information.
These are not, I know that everyone thinks, oh, well, Art Briles should know everything that's going on and be intricately involved. No, he's a football coach. He's drawing up plays, okay? Yeah. All these coaches, they are this, I've said this before, they're this far away being removed from being Neanderthals, okay? Now, I know Neanderthal seems to be the word of the week, but I've been saying that for years. If you're wanting these guys to handle these types of sensitive, delicate problems, that your want is not correct. You need to change what you want because they are not the individuals to do it. They're not mentally capable of handling it based off of their skill set. It's not what they were hired to do, and they don't know how to do it. If they just because they weren't hired to do it, it's fine. But if they're not capable of doing it, then it's illogical to ask them to do it.
And that's what the training is for, right? And that's if you are not requiring your football coaches and whatnot to do that, that is still a part of college football. Like yes. That is, if you don't want to deal with it, you have to find a job in the NFL or in some other pro organization. Correct. Even then, in today's climate, you're still going to have to deal with it today, right? But Correct. Back then, who knows?
These schools should have departments set up. That, well, obviously LSU didn't have it fully staffed, which is a problem.
Yeah.
Because had it been fully staffed, it's easy for the coaches to say, this is not my issue to deal with. I have a conflict of interest because I have a relationship with this student. You need to take this with to this department.
Yeah.
And I will usher you over there. But they handle these issues, not me, because I'm not capable of being unbiased because I have a relationship with this child. We call them children. But these are all adults. But yes. I have a relationship with this person. Okay. And so therefore I'm not capable of handling this. But this person is. That's their job, is handling problems like yours.
Yes. Yes. I mean
and that's what we would all want, by the way.
Agreed. Agreed. Take it to the correct people. From the Hush Blackwell report. Moving from that, the Les Miles stuff, that is a whole different situation, right? From the report, the stuff that we got out of USA Today yesterday was there were multiple students on the campus, some that worked in the football facility, some that didn't but wanted to, or something along those lines, that wanted to either improve their chances at a job outside of campus, like once they graduate, something like all sorts of different stuff here. And Les was, what's the right way to say this, Chris? He was being a little creepy, I guess.
Yes, I think what Les did was creepy, but I think the worst thing that he did was kiss one of these girls.
And even so, that is more, it's a he said, and
at the end of the
said,
day, like, yeah. And at the end of the day, that's what he's being alleged.
And the school did say, by the way, that if nothing more, he used incredibly poor judgment. And that's correct.
That's it. He used it. But I actually believe the lawyers here with the Joe Oliva's claim. I don't think Les would have been, he would have won his lawsuit and they would have owed him his money if they had fired him for cause.
Yes.
Because I don't think that stands up in court. And even if it all finds out that he did these things, he didn't break any laws. These girls were texting with him. So this wasn't a forced upon situation. This is obviously a conversation that happened over days, weeks, we don't know, months, back and forth between the two of them. So it's not him just pressuring them. I think if that was the case, we would have that information. We don't. So we know that it was a mutual conversation. These are all adults. Okay. I know we like to call them students because it sounds more salacious, but they're not 15-year-old girls. They're 19 to 22-year-old girls. Okay. And it's creepy for a 50-year-old man and a 19-year-old girl, but it's not illegal. Okay. And so what is the school supposed to do now he shouldn't be holding power over them, but we only have one report as of yesterday that I read. The stuff I read today didn't say anything about that, where Les supposedly offered to be able to help her, but it never says he, it was the word from last year was quid pro quo. It was never if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. I think if they've been texting back and forth and she asked for help, I think he would say, yeah. Now I'm also inclined to defend Les right now, because right now I think he was super creepy, but I also think that's what he was super creepy.
Yes. So let me jump into this. From the Hugh Blackwell report on LSU, the first student worker to allege wrongdoing from Les Miles was, quote, completely traumatized, is how she put it. In May 2019, Lewis provided a statement to Lindsay Madadic, the university's deputy Title IX coordinator for employees, in an appeal of an institutional finding that she purportedly failed to make a required PM 73 report. That statement chronicled significant alleged misconduct committed by the then most powerful person in the athletics department and perhaps the university, LSU football coach Les Miles, from approximately 2009 until Miles' departure in 2016. Miles has denied all allegations of misconduct, and we are not in a position to offer an opinion on whether the allegations against him are true or not. Instead, the issue is whether the university responded to this report against a powerful member of the athletic department in a manner consistent with then existing legal guidance, well-recognized best practices, and institutional policy. The answer is no. They did not. Lewis's
so
report...
Like the girl that's claiming she was completely traumatized, we don't know what she's traumatized from. That's all I've tried to do all day was figure out what did he do that traumatized her?
Here's the report. Lewis's report...
I'm not defending the guy. I just want to know.
Lewis's report speaks for itself, but among the allegations leveled is that after losing the 2012 National Championship game, Miles attempted to sexualize the staff of student workers in the football program by, for instance, allegedly demanding that he wanted, quote, blondes with the big boobs and, quote, pretty girls. According to Lewis, he also allegedly took a more direct role in the hiring of those student workers. Lewis's account was corroborated by several witnesses. In our review, according to Lewis, she repeatedly expressed her concerns to various athletics administrators, and she felt those reports, quote, went nowhere. In 2012, Miles had just completed his eighth season as head football coach. In late January of 2013, the university announced it had negotiated a new contract with Miles, which included significantly increasing his annual salary. Blah, 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 blah. It was presented to the Board of Supervisors. Let's see. In her interview, Lewis stated that around this time, her, quote, worst nightmare happened when an athletics department student worker, quote, student one, came to her very upset about something that happened when she was alone with Coach Miles. According to Lewis, student one requested her assistance in confronting Miles regarding the allegations. Another longtime football operations employee was present for the meeting and recalled from her perspective that student one was, quote, completely traumatized by the alleged incident. Quote, this child had a dead stare. She just kept saying over and over, you know what you did to me, to Coach Miles. Sharon Lewis echoed this, describing the interaction between student one as emotional and traumatic. Following this encounter, Lewis immediately reported the incident to Seeger. According to two athletics employees interviewed as part of our review, student one met with Seeger, but, quote, the university never did anything about it. There is no record of the student's concern being investigated in a manner consistent with then university policy. There are also no records or other evidence of student one being provided with notice of her rights and options in response to the complaint, or perhaps more importantly, any supportive resources other than the support of Sharon Lewis and the coordinator of football operations and assistant to the head coach, Yael Lofton. Lofton and Lewis stated that after this incident, student one fell off the face of the earth and did not know what happened to her after that.
That all sounds horrible. That all sounds awful. And it is awful if it really happened, but what is the it? What was she traumatized from? Yeah,
she never told them what he did to her. You know what you did to me is what she said. And she said it in front of athletic department officials and the coach.
Yes.
That's
a tough accusation if you just say, you know what you did to me.
And
because now, I don't know that that holds up in any court whatsoever or investigation.
But it is
damning.
Also,
it's absolutely damning.
It is also on the university to make sure that they investigate. Right.
That's right.
But they did none of the sort.
That's
bad.
You're 100% right on all of that. All of that. I know this is coming. I feel like this is coming across as I'm defending these people because this is my school. Okay. It's a place I love. I'm not. I just want to know what actually happened. Okay.
And Sharon Lewis, by the way,
how you can report a complaint, but then never tell the people you're reporting the complaint to what the complaint is.
Sharon Lewis, the athletic department official, the report on her said that because of the allegations and the lack of response from the university, that she had a mental breakdown, said that she was a longtime associate AD working in football ops. She wanted, a long time ago, both Verge Osbury and Miriam Seeger to be investigated by the Title IX office, and says she encountered resistance from them when reporting incidents. That is also not a good thing.
So that's very problematic. Mike, I have a problem with Sharon. This individual who was close to the complainant, okay, close to the victim, obviously she was close enough with her to know this was a problem, and the girl didn't tell her what happened.
Yeah.
That's strange to me. Now, I can't explain it. I've never been a victim of anything like that, so I don't have a clue what someone goes through, okay? I can't put myself in those shoes. I don't know what that's like. But I do know that if you're going to go to somebody to complain, at some point in time, you have to actually tell them what this person did for them to investigate.
Yes.
Right? If you just say, he did something to me, what'd he do? Well, I'm not going to tell you. You got to investigate. I don't even know how to do that investigation. Hey, Les, what'd you do? Oh, okay. Investigation over.
Agreed.
Because we have no real complaint.
I have no idea.
Unless you cock this up. But yeah. I also think at some point in time, these victims have to
cooperate.
They have to cooperate. You have to tell at least one person. You have to find one. And this Sharon lady was obviously an advocate for her, was obviously fighting for her. So it's not like nobody at LSU was fighting for her that she could trust or depend on or lean on. If you tell Sharon, then you have then we have what we need. Then Sharon can, you no longer have to face this trauma anymore, and Sharon can take the investigation forward.
Yes. The only,
I don't know how you investigate it if they never tell you what happened.
The only current LSU assistant that is named in here is Mickey Joseph. Yeah. It mentions briefly in the report, he was, and this is from the law office, the university put him in the, quote, impossible position of keeping Drake Davis away from his former girlfriend and LSU tennis player Jade Lewis, who had alleged abuse. That's almost impossible because the tennis coach was also in this situation. Like,
that's right.
How do you keep them apart?
That's right. Because you can't be around them 24/7.
Yeah.
You're their coach. You're not, even if you're their parent, like at some point in time, they leave the house to go to class. Like, they're adults. They leave your watch. You can't control that.
If you have other job duties, which they do, you can't just babysit.
And other responsibility to other students as well.
Yes.
Like that is an impossible request to ask of somebody.
Yes. The latest on Darius Geis, he played his final game at LSU in the Citrus Bowl after the 17 season. No, the 2016
it was,
season.
It was 2016. It was 2017 Citrus Bowl.
Yeah. He apparently sexually harassed a 70-year-old attendant during a high school championship game. It was reported to the university. Geist was never put through the university's disciplinary process. It says on December 9th, Geist attended a... Okay, so it was not while he was in high school.
No, it was he went to a high school championship game he was as a player. LSU player. Yeah.
It says, following the game, the athletics department received a report that Geist had aggressively sexually harassed a 70-year-old Superdome security guard. In her appeal of the PM 73 violation and in interviews with the law firm, Lewis stated that on or about December 13th, a woman and or her purported legal representative began calling the football operations office demanding to speak with Coach Orgeron regarding an alleged incident of sexual harassment involving Darius Geist. Lewis stated that she immediately sent a text message to Seeger and Osbury relaying the information and provided screenshots of her text messages to Seeger, which were included in her appeal of the PM 73 failure to report finding. Although Lewis reported the incident to Seeger on December 13th, the Title IX office did not receive information regarding the report until December 19th, when the alleged victim and or her representative called the Student Advocacy and Advocacy and Accountability Office directly. According to the SAA incident report, the alleged victim stated that she was working security at the Superdome on December 9th for the high school football game. Excuse me, at 3:30, she was sitting on a chair at her post when Darius Geist and several other men approached her. He began saying that he likes older women and asked if she would like to have sex with him. She was shocked and told him it was not funny. He continued to gesture at his private area and grab himself in front of her, saying that older women are my thing and that they could just go off and do it somewhere. She told him that she is a grandmother and 70 years old and he shouldn't talk to people that way. The other men began to laugh. She tried to tell him how disgusting it was that he, that he would treat her that way. But he kept talking about sex as he got into an elevator and left. She reported to her supervisor and the person that called, called the coach at LSU. Sorry, the supervisor called the coach at LSU. Yep. He said that Darius was probably just kidding around and that Darius came from a broken home. She said that she did not care and he should be punished for his behavior. She said that he did it with such ease, and she felt like he had done this before. The coach asked what she wanted, if she wanted an apology. She told him that she wanted Darius to sit out from a game, the bowl game. The coach dismissed her, and no one has returned her calls or done anything about the incident.
Yeah.
Now, the law firm was not able to identify the coach that was referenced. And Seeger did indicate that she was aware of the information and that they were notified about a week ago. Despite that, Seeger did not report the matter to the Title IX office. This was an error, if for no other reason than LSU's Title IX policy applied to off-campus conduct in certain situations.
Yeah,
I mean, some of this stuff is just
insane. But you're right in the way you started this whole thing and unfolding it is. This is all pointing back to information's not getting to the people that it's supposed to handle this stuff. And most people either weren't in place or were inept at their job.
Yeah, correct.
In place, they weren't doing their job and nobody knew they were there to handle this stuff. I'm not giving coaches passes on this stuff, but I don't know what you expect to happen from when you bring it to a coach. I will tell you from I feel like if you take this to a coach, I don't know what kind of reprimand is going to actually happen.
Well, no, the suggestions for reprimand would come from the Title IX office.
That should be handling all of this, by the way.
So when somebody calls the school and they demand to talk to the coach,
they need to be directed to Title IX.
Yes.
They don't need to be allowed to talk to the coach.
Exactly.
Because once again, these coaches are like father figures to these guys. Okay. I don't know what you want someone who's that close to them to do.
Darius Geist coming from a broken home is no excuse.
That was a bullshit answer to get her off phone.
But at the same time, that could really be what whoever the coach is
believes. You're right.
Was believing.
That coach might actually think, well, this is why he's acting that way, is I've seen how this kid was raised and he's got a lot of problems.
Yeah.
You know, and do you want me to bring more problems on him because he harassed you? I'm really sorry for your troubles, but this is how coaches respond to things because they're coaches.
Yeah. The coach looks at it as, okay, so he said some stuff to you that's kind of offensive. Yeah. Like, get out of here. I don't have time for this.
I don't have time for this. You know, that's why they're not the right people to handle these things.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's just the whole thing. So getting to modern day, the question is, while we now know all of this stuff, and it is news, it should be absolutely reported. We probably should have known about some of this stuff way sooner than right now, because this is stuff that happened, you know, 4 years ago. If that is the case, what is there left to do? Like, I know that there's a lot of people outraged, right?
You understand what's happening more than I do, because I can't understand what's the reporting right now. It's coming out really choppy and in pieces, and it's been hard to put together in my gorilla brain. My request to you was, here's what I want to know, being a fan of LSU, okay? I'm actually a supporter. These people get my money. I buy their gear. I buy tickets to their things. You know, I am a supporter of this school, and I care about what happens to it. So here's what I want to know. I would like to know exactly what happened with Les, okay? Now that's a little bit more personal, because I kind of worship this guy for a long time, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't – this is why you don't put people on pedestals, by the way. It's because they'll always let you down. All right. Yes. But this is somebody who I want to know what happened, because I'm emotionally invested in knowing what actually happened here. All right.
Right.
But the other question is after we find out what happened, what are we doing now? Because I'm going to paint you a picture. Now, this is a perfect world picture for a guy like me. Okay. A lot of bad shit was going on. Lot of problems. Today, Title IX is fully staffed. We've addressed all of the issues that happened from these things. All of the people involved in this stuff have been let go, except for these two individuals, and they're being punished and going through retraining. All right. And the only reason nobody found out about it, because they were just now getting reports of it. So what do you do if LSU internally fix the problems before the media got the information out and everybody knew about it? Is it okay that they fixed it all internally? Is it okay that the world didn't get their 5 minutes of outrage and the ability to yell and to scream and to call them bad names and say, you know, what a terrible place it was? If it's all fixed, this is all pending the fairy tale of if it's all fixed. But I need to know. I would like to know where we are now. What does the staffing look like at Title IX? Not what is the new plan, because all of these investigations are happening now. What was it before the investigation just happened? Okay, did the new AD come in? Did he restaff it up? Joe Oliva, I was super critical and super harsh of him for a long time. The longer he's been gone, I've given him more of a pass on some of these things, but some of these things I'm not. Staffing up that Title IX issue, knowing, like, taking care of some of these things, they do fall under his umbrella. So while he was willing to fire a national championship coach, he was also the guy that was around when these investigations of Guice and Davis happened.
Yeah.
So why did these people who worked directly under him and under his umbrella fall short of doing their job? Why did they not know where to send people? Why did Title IX staff not be fully staffed? Now, that's more of a school president thing than him, but he knows those things are happening, right? He's aware of it. And so he's got to make, I need to see the outrage and the cry, not just of Les. It seems like the Les deal was a money deal. It was we need to get rid of this guy because I think we got a bad contract. I think we got roped into a bad contract, and this is a way to get out of it for calls.
Yeah.
More than this is the right thing to do.
Yeah. So this is from an anonymous longtime football staff member at LSU. And mm-hmm. And we'll read this, and then I'll tell you one more thing that happened regarding LSU today, and we'll move on, and we'll talk about more of this on our SBR show next week. We'll go a little more in depth with it. The longtime football staffer, anonymous guy, said to think that was almost normal for us because we had been involved in that for so long, until you step back and look at it and go, my God, what were we doing? You know, but that's the progression it came to. it just became normal, which is sick now that you think about it. The fact that that became normal to us was crazy, you know, but it was always like nobody ever really wanted to rock the boat. And then poor Sharon, though, I mean, like I said, she had most of the brunt of it because she was over the girls. We were so beat down and caught up in that mess, we didn't realize how bad we were, you know. That's what upsets me. Like, it sounds like there could be even more.
That's right.
To this, and it's just stuff that will likely never come out.
And it might take some time to come out.
Yeah.
But once again, those are, as a fan of this school, those are the two questions I have. I would like to know what Les actually did. Okay.
Agreed.
Right now, I know that he was creepy. Okay. I know that he had what people would see as a creepy relationship with these girls, but I don't know that it goes much farther than that unless I have definition of quick pro quos of, hey, you know, you give me a little something, something, and I get you a little something, something, and that's fine. But that doesn't seem to be what happened. All right. This woman that was traumatized, I'd like to know what actually happened to her to cause her to be that traumatized.
Like we know that he offered for girls to come to his condo alone. Yeah. We know that he drove girls around, you know, around the school and around the city in his car with just those two. We know, like, he tried to kiss one of them or did kiss. I don't even know anymore.
But the thing is like, how did he get them in the car? Did he, like, roofie them? I mean, are we Cosby in this situation? Did he get them in there by force? Or did he have a relationship with these girls that people would say is creepy and inappropriate or whatever? But at the end of the day, it is two consenting adults.
Yeah. Like, he offered for them to babysit his kids and and they apparently agreed at some point. I mean, I don't know. Moving on.
So Les didn't live in a condo. Les had a house, kind of a big, nice house in Baton Rouge. And he had a condo. And one of the complaints was while he was at a condo, they said he offered to take them to a hotel. And I'm thinking, he's already got you at the condo. Yeah, why does he need to go to a hotel? That story doesn't make sense to me.
I agree.
I'm not saying it didn't happen, and I'm not defending the guy. I would like the story to make sense, and maybe it makes sense to others, and I'm just, you know, I'm all that's wrong with society, and so I don't get it. I don't know.
No, I think you're just looking for logic, and that's totally fair. Nomad Ways jumps in and said, hey guys, found you a couple months ago. Since I've loved your content. Would like to know your opinion about Skip Bayless and his new contract. If you have one, keep it up. Thanks. We will jump to that here momentarily. To stay on the LSU thing, this is a slightly different subject, but I think worth at least bringing up. John Paul Fewnes, who pled guilty in 2019 for embezzling nearly $800,000 from the Children Home Foundation, he has been released from prison and will finish his term at home. Now, he is also a focus of the NCAA's infraction case into LSU's football program.
That's right. Because he was embezzling money to give it to the school.
Found it very interesting. Not to the school, but to an offensive lineman's dad for a job that didn't exist.
To pay players.
Yes, basically. Yes. Basically. So it very, very strange. I don't know of anybody that has pled guilty to embezzling that spent less than a year in jail and got to go home.
Some of it could be this is very much a white collar crime, and we would like to not waste taxpayers' money.
Yeah,
I think I'm okay. This person in a cage. We're going to slap an ankle bracelet around him. We're going to make him see a PO. We're going to keep tabs on him, but I don't need the taxpayers to feed him and house him.
Yeah,
and also some of it is medical issues. COVID is still a big deal in the prisons. They're letting people go. I'm okay with them letting guys like this go over rapists and murderers. Like, you know,
yeah, I agree.
I think there's a math problem being done in the criminal justice system as to when we get overflows, who are we going to say, hey, you've done some time. Now we're going to slap an ankle bracelet on you and tell you can't leave the state or you can't leave the county and you got to see a PO twice a week and this, that, and other. You're still under massive restrictions. We're just not going to pay to feed and house you.
Totally.
And I'll say the libertarian in me is very fine with that. Like I think what this guy did is gross, but I also, you know, I understand we're wasting a cage on a guy like that.
I tend to agree. To answer Nomad's question, Skip Bayless signed a new 4-year, $32 million contract with FS1. And if Fox Sports believes that he is worth $8 million a year, then cheers to that, because we are in the sports media business. And if he's getting $8 million a year, then there is no reason why you and I can't make a living wage doing
this. For some reason, Skip's got a following, and I don't even know if it's a fan base. I think he gets most of his watch for hate watch.
Yeah.
But he's built that niche for himself, and man, that pays. You know, those eyeballs, that it's weird that advertisers would see you as just as valuable if people watched to hate you as they would to if they watched because they loved you. Because if he was actually doing live reads like we would do sometimes, like you wouldn't buy anything he was selling, but yet the advertisers still pay the same amount of dollars per listen, per download.
Yeah.
So now TV is a little bit different, but it's that same concept is strange to me.
Oh, I agree. I mean, he does have a lot of viewers, but his numbers at FS1 have not been nearly what they were at ESPN. Now, a lot of that is because FS1 is still relatively new. Matt said, I don't like Skip, so I never give him attention. There are a lot of people that are like that. There are a lot of people that do watch him just to hate on him. So,
just to hate on him.
He has brought the biggest audiences to FS1. So, you know, if they think he's worth $8 million, sure. You know, yeah. I'm game with
and
it.
You're right. Can you and I make a living? You know, that's what we'd like.
I would imagine.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, moving off of that, we're not going to spend too terribly long on the rest of this stuff. The NFL salary cap massacre is coming next week, supposedly. You know, we'll see. Already, we have had the Dolphins cut Kyle Van Noy. We've had the Lions say that they are going to cut cornerback Desmond Trufant. Washington football team has cut Alex Smith. Everybody is trying to – so they're guessing right now that the cap is going to be $180 million or somewhere around about. If it ends up being $177 million, if it ends up being $175 million, if it ends up being $185 million, it's, you know, that's a massive difference. So everybody's trying to put themselves in position. However, because of the loss of funds last year, that you're going to have a cap hit. Like it's going to cut down quite a bit. And if that is the case, you are going to see a lot of big-name guys that are going to be cut this year. Now, Big Ben went ahead, Ben Roethlisberger, went ahead and signed a new contract with Pittsburgh that drastically reduces his pay as a starting quarterback. And it is totally fair, by the way. I mean, he wasn't
He's now going to get paid market value instead of the $41 million cap hit that he was about to hit the team.
He is now being paid $14 million for next season. His cap hit is still relatively large, but they cut a significant part of that out. They will still be able to sign guys that they need, et cetera, et cetera.
I think they spread it out over a couple of years is how they appeased the union hit with that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Tell me your thoughts on the salary cap massacre that I'm sure is going to lead our show pretty much every day next week.
I'm interested to see who gets dropped and who doesn't. And some of these guys, it's you know, they're getting dropped before the massacre hits, you know, before we actually have hard numbers as to what's going to happen with the salary caps. I was shocked that Van Noy got released. I was shocked that Trufant got released.
Van Noy was 1 year into a 4 year, like $40 million guaranteed contract. I mean, it was insane.
Yeah. I was shocked that he got and Trufant got released. Those are the two that I was shocked at. And we will see where these guys land. And we'll see kind of how much. I'm going to tell you this. I think we're going to see a shit ton of $15 to $24 million one-year deals.
Yep. I think you're going to see a lot of ring chasing. You're going to see, you know, some teams that maybe you could consider super teams, maybe.
Here's the problem. These guys getting cut, like, Van Noy was able to be cut because he just didn't produce at Miami the way he produced at New England.
But you're going to see big name guys that tend to group together that may not be. It's kind of the JJ Watt thing, right? Like JJ Watt is not
JJ Watt, if the Cardinals make a Super Bowl run, it ain't because they went and got JJ.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying is that you might see some guys try and sign with Tampa Bay. You might see some. I mean, New England has got a ton of cap space.
Yeah, New England's got a ton of money. So, I'll tell you who's got the Brownies got a ton of money.
The Panthers as well.
Have a ton of money. The Panthers are trying like crazy the owner used the phrase, I'm willing to move heaven and earth to get a star quarterback.
Yeah.
And if I was a star quarterback out there, if I was Hustle and Bustle, or if I was Mr. Watson, I would be looking because I want to play for an owner who wants to move heaven and earth to get me, not who's trying to get me to renegotiate a deal to take less money to make the team better. No. He openly is telling people, I want to move heaven and earth to get my star.
Yes. Yes, and I
want to go play for that guy. Yes. I want to play for that guy.
No, you are correct about that. I'll be your
star, sir.
Yeah. The Lions cutting Desmond Trufant, I get it, money saving. Yep. The Saints cut their longtime punter. You know, you're going to see a ton of these deals. Like, guys are going to get cut across the board. It's going to be really bad. Damian said, I wouldn't be surprised if all these players getting cut end up in the XFL. No.
Well, not all of them.
No.
There are some of them that probably will.
Yeah, some will. But there will be big name guys. When I say it's a massacre, I'm talking about big name guys that you know.
I think these guys will all find homes. They just won't find homes for the contracts they want.
Exactly. So it's going to be a strange year next year. Casey wants to know when we're going to give our NCAA conference tourney picks. Well, those start next week. So we've still got Monday and Wednesday next week before the games really kick off. So we will be talking college basketball. No worries. Tom Brady. Let's talk about Tom Brady for a second. The Tom Brady rookie card. One of only, 100 different types of this one.
Yeah.
It sold for $1.32 million yesterday. And I was surprised at this, partly because the record for a football card, for the selling price of a football card, was just set last month with a Patrick Mahomes card that sold for $861,000.
Now, I think that's insane.
I don't understand the Mahomes thing. Like, the Brady thing, okay, yeah, I get it. No. He's won 7 damn Super Bowls. Like, I get
his legacy is done. Unless Tom Brady gets caught cutting up little children or me too somehow massively, his legacy story is over. Okay. If he wins another one, it wouldn't add another zero or change that number of value that guy has. His story is still being told, but the bulk of it has been told. If Patrick Mahomes, I don't want to speak horrible things, but if he blows an AC joint in his shoulder and blows an Achilles at the same time and never, ever, ever makes another playoff game, but plays another 5 years, whoever paid $800,000 for his rookie card pissed away a lot of money.
Exactly.
And the story of Patrick Mahomes is gone, done.
The thing that, so a Mickey Mantle baseball card sold for $5.2 million in January this year. That one
I'm
makes
okay
sense.
With that. That However, makes sense.
You informed me of the biggest basketball card or the highest priced basketball card ever, and that ever. Was a Luka Doncic card that sold for, let's see, this was March 2nd. Okay, so this was just a few days ago.
Yeah, that's right. When I told you, it was like, it just happened.
$4.6 million for a Luka Doncic rookie
card. This guy's been in the league for 2 years. Now, this is a guy I love. I told you, this is a team. This is one of the three teams that I actually watch play basketball this year, okay? This is a team that I actually care about. This is a guy I love to watch. This is insane. This is patently insane.
Yeah,
what are we talking about? A guy that's never won a playoff series. Well, I love the kid, and I think he's going to be a star. But once again, what happens if this dude blows out his shoulder or his knee or his leg or something crazy happens and he never plays again, or he plays for a while, but he just loses his game?
The second highest priced basketball card, Giannis Antetokounmpo. His rookie card sold for $1.8 million in September. That one's followed by LeBron James's rookie patch autograph card, sold for $1.8 million in July. And then Michael Jordan's 1997 game-used jersey fragment, which was turned into an autographed card, sold for $1.44 million last month. Fifth place might soon be taken by a 96-97 Kobe Bryant Topps rookie card, currently up for auction, which has a top bid of $1.2 million.
Now, I could see Kobe cards going through the roof now, because his story has been told.
Yes.
His life is over. These guys that are still alive, okay, that's fine. Still active players, and Luka and Patrick, they basically have 2 years under their belt of real playing football. Like, what are we doing? What in the hell are we doing? Like, the highest paid baseball card in a while was Mike Trout a couple years ago. Like, he's still playing.
Yeah, his was over $4 million, right?
This is a guy that's never won a playoff series. Just unreal. Ever in his life. Hey, $4 million.
Taylor wanted to know, did Chris buy the Tom Brady card?
No, if Chris had that kind of cheese, I would not be spending it on a car. I don't collect stuff, guys. I just don't, man. I spend money on experiences, but I don't really collect stuff.
Yeah, Matt said
all of those toys in the background of my normal background, those are all toys that I played with. Like, most of those, like, I literally have to, like, glue them into the spot that they're in because they don't work anymore because they were played with. Matt, I have nothing of value that was given to me.
Well, of course not. And if you did, you wouldn't have it there. You'd have it in a safe. Like,
no, I'd display it. I don't care. Take it down.
Matt said someone needed to hide their money, so they overspent for athletic cards. Casey said it must be nice to be rich. Hey, Casey said, hey, you guys got to give your picks early so we can take your advice and get some money down. Come on now, LOL.
Casey, you don't want my picks on college basketball.
Hold on, hold on.
I assure you.
Here, let me tell you this, Casey. We still don't know the actual bracket setups for these tournaments.
Yeah.
So until I see what the matchups are going to be,
I'm going to take a bunch of dogs, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah. I'm going to wait for the matchups to play themselves out, and then once the bracket is set over the weekend, we will talk about that on Monday. So, yes, I know that the ACC tournament starts on Tuesday. That's why I said we'll talk about it Monday and Wednesday. Nomad.
I actually want to talk about, like, somebody they had money to hide. Like, you can hide that money, in Bitcoin or Dogecoin or anything like that.
Or gold.
Excuse me. You can also hide it in gold and silver, by the way. You can just go buy physical gold and silver and hide it that way as well. Like, you don't have to buy something that seriously might be worthless in a couple of weeks.
Yes. Yes, you're exactly right. Let's see. Matt Miller said AMC to the moon. Nomad said, has Patrick seen a UFO? Apparently that matters now. just ridiculous. I guarantee we would have talked about that if we were doing like a three-hour show.
I know. This is way too heavy of a show for the offseason. You know, I like to dick around. I really hate that it was my team involved too, but it's okay. It's all right. I will tell you this. My responsibility in life is to be the most consistent son of a bitch you've ever seen.
Hey, did you see Tom Brady respond when?
Hell yes to Colin.
Yes. Did you see?
I've never seen it.
Did you see what I responded?
Yeah.
So
I liked it.
For those listening that don't do the Twitter thing, look, Tom Brady responded to Colin Cowherd, who was saying that he doesn't like his quarterbacks looking at aliens and looking at UFOs and whatever else. He said, you know, Tom Brady and, you know, all the other great quarterbacks, Joe Montana, et cetera, they haven't seen aliens, so I don't want my current quarterback to be looking for aliens. Tom Brady responded and said, Colin, how do you know I've never seen an alien? And I responded and said, Tom Brady played with Randy Moss, so I thought it was assumed that we had all seen an alien.
Yeah.
Randy Moss was an alien. Like, he absolutely was. Matt, so
do not hang on. I have one, like, and this is like the most boring Randy Moss story in the world, but did I tell you that I was in the presence of Randy Moss? I had a chance to meet him.
No.
So you know how I do I used to do Barbecue Fest every year, right?
Yeah.
So the one year we had the big flood and it got moved to the University of Memphis Tiger Lane. Okay. My favorite year of Barbecue Fest ever, by the way, I lost my pants and I they had my keys, my wallet, they had everything in there. I woke up in my barbecue tent in my boxers and my hoodie that I was wearing. And that was it. And I had a really good time. I don't know what else happened, and it was awesome. I drove home in my drawers though. Good anyway, Lord. That our tent, the way our tent backed up where our grills are, the back of our tent, across the way, it was probably, I don't know, 30, 40 yards away from us, was the back of another tent. And Randy Moss was in that tent. He was outside all the time, kind of alone by himself. Every now and then, one or two guys would be back there with him, but not a lot. And he was playing cornhole, and he was smoking a Black and Mild, and he was having a good time. And the whole night, at no point in time of my alcohol consumption, did I ever get to the ability to work up the nerve to go speak to him. And this is after his days with the Patriots. This is after, like he had blown past my hero worship level. Okay. And I was that afraid to, there was no amount of alcohol. Obviously there was a lot of alcohol consumed. There was no amount of alcohol consumed to a point where I was brave enough to go say hello.
There you go.
But I saw him and I watched it and I did, boy. You think what Les was doing was creepy. All right. No. This was creepy because I didn't take my eyes off of him for like hours upon hours upon hours. I just watched him.
I love it. I think that we need to end the show on that.
I'm fine with it.
We will talk on Monday about the Big Ten trying to hide information about them canceling their season and whatnot through a third party app. We'll talk about that on Monday. We'll also talk about it on our SBR show next week. Make sure that you are subscribed to that show. Our off-season week 7 show is up. Our FCS previews are...
If we ever get an FS1 show...
That'd be awesome. But no, our FCS previews are on that. We talked a lot of stuff around the off-season in that show, along with the way too early top 25 and et cetera, et cetera. So go over to SBR Picks on YouTube or search out sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. You can also find everything to know about us over at winningcureseverything.com. Chris, is there anything emergent that we need to hit on?
No. There's bigger stories that we need to hit on.
You're right about that.
We'll just end it.
That works for me. Hopefully everybody has a good weekend. Taylor and everybody else. Taylor jumped in, by the way. Pro Severe for the next Super Bowl. Hurts like hell rocks. Yeah, I appreciate that. We are no longer playing, but that sounds good to me. I would definitely take the payday. So I don't know that we could outdo some of these bigger names, but it sure would be fun. Trubisky is definitely an alien from Damien. And then Taylor said, damn, Chris Mossed himself. Yeah, you kind of did, didn't you? Kind of did. All right. We appreciate all of you. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And hopefully we can all cash some tickets this weekend.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.